So we're in good company. I'm looking at a room full of stars. How many of you feel like a star today? You know, God says you're the light of the world. So you know what? In light, there is no darkness. So both here and when you go to work, into your workplace, you can't go grumbling and complaining because you are light. And as was mentioned before, some of you perhaps go to work more like salt. And, you know, that's probably not going to accomplish the perfect will of God. So we want to be light, we want to be love, we want to be excited about what God is doing in our life each and every day. There are great challenges, and we know that as well. So, Father, thank you for this moment together. We rejoice in you being, our star, and for the fact that you have chosen us. We love you this morning, and just be with us now as we engage together in Jesus' name. Amen. So, dancing. Thank you so much for those of you that have picked up on the theme so well. I thought maybe people would think, you know, Oregon's lost it a little bit because what's he talking about, dancing with a star? But, you know, I obviously didn't give you enough credit because, you know, there's no secret to what this is all about. But I guess there's a television program called Dancing with the Stars, which I haven't had the pleasure of ever watching, but I knew the title, and I thought, well, that works, because often in my life, I talk to people about the rhythm of life, you know, and I have one Pentecostal friend who is the wife of my best friend, and I've been kidding her about dancing with her all of my Christian life. Because Pentecostals are told not to dance. So every time I see Marlene, I say, Marlene, can we dance? And she just breaks out and laughs. And it's been going on for 30 plus years now. But there is a sense of rhythm with God. There is a sense of seasons of life. There's a sense of stepping with Him and walking with Him. So dance it's just a good theme. It works for me, and so I'm imposing it on you today. Dancing quotes. Lewis Carroll, 1869, said, "As to dancing, my dear, I never dance unless I'm allowed to do it in my own particular way. There is no use trying to describe it. It has to be seen to be believed. Did you ever see the rhino and the hippo at the zoo trying to dance a minuet together? It's a touching sight." Cicero said, "No one dances sober unless he is insane." Let me see if I can put that together. Lord Byron said, "On with the dance, the joy be unconfined, no sleep till morn, when youth and pleasure meet to chase the glowing hours with flying feet." How poetic is that? I wish I could write stuff like that. It's brilliant. Then the atheist Nietzsche says, "I would only believe in a God that knows how to dance." Well, our God does. And I don't know if he ever met him, but perhaps not. But Jesus knows how to dance. He's always seeking additional partners. Any partners here this morning? Yeah. Yeah, we know what that means. We're literally partnering with God in this incredible global initiative for God to build His church, to gather the bride, and to have the wedding, and to have the dance for eternity. Jesus is the star. Peter refers to Him as the morning star, and John, in his vision, refers to Him as the bright morning star. He is the light of the world and the everlasting light in the new heaven and the new earth. But as you know this morning, and you've referred to Him indirectly many times this morning, there is another star in Scripture. His other name is Wormwood, or Satan. He fell from heaven in disgrace and causes havoc on earth to this day. And of course, you see the evidence of it every day, both locally and globally, the havoc that this fallen star has created will continue until Jesus comes and releases releases his church. The Bible is very clear on the matter of dance partners. Either you dance with Jesus or with Satan. You know, apparently there are no other choices. Now, the world is absolutely convinced that they are going to work diligently to make sure that there are many choices for you or for the world. So you can dance with Jesus if you like, but we're going to offer you thousands and thousands of other opportunities to dance with someone else. The scripture is very clear. God or mammon, right? There's only two dance partners. And, you know, that's what really ticks the world off. That really what agitates all the thinkers and all the smart people of the world to think that God would only give us that one choice to dance with God and no other than serving the purposes of darkness, evil, and Satan. So this bright morning star is a central figure in all history. Even reading lately a number of different books on the Middle East, I realize that Jesus Christ is still the central issue in all the turmoil in the Middle East. No matter which way you carve it, it's still about Jesus Christ. And we can say Jesus is responsible for the turmoil, or we can simply say Jesus still invites dance partners from every nation, every race, every clan, and every culture. What they do with that invitation is often the evidence that we see in the turmoil and the conflict and the hatred, the persecution that we see in the Middle East. All races, all cultures, all tribes and clans wrestle with the problem of sin and salvation. They hang on to old covenants, old customs, and old grievances. They just can't get over what they have once known in order to step into something that's new, a new covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one has access to Jesus, but most have tried and continue to try to replace him. That's what we run into every day. People just want to replace the lordship of Jesus Christ with the worship of someone else. They want to replicate him. They want to reason and reflect on every alternative to a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. We're offering them a surrendered life of dancing with the Lord Jesus Christ, and basically the majority of the response is, no, please make me another offer. Any other offer. And of course, they've already accepted an offer exactly where they are right now. They just don't realize it. They don't put a name to it. And we need to be the kind of folks that will make the dance as attractive as possible without compromising the reality of sin and the reality that, yeah, you can come to Jesus because you love him. Sooner or later, you're going to deal with the issue of sin. And we don't want to overemphasize their sinfulness. We want to overemphasize the fact that Jesus loves them. So most would prefer to dance with the devil they know than to trust in a Hebrew son of a Nazarene carpenter who claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. The question of the ages is, and this caught my attention many, many years ago in my new life in Christ, and I know it's caught your attention, but what Jesus said, he said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? I mean, that is the ultimate question. The answer to that has eternal significance. Who do you say that I am? Who is your dance partner today? And even some of us that say, yeah, we're in the church, yeah, we're in Christ, if people say, who do you say that you are? The last person you will mention is perhaps Jesus Christ as being who you are as a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. One of the marketplace sort of popular terms is when people ask you who you are, you say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ disguised as an employee of Stats Canada. You know, in other words, we're probably not going to use that all the time, but the fact is, ultimately, you know, if our first calling is to God and our first obligation is to serve Him, then our job and our title is secondary. So there's a sense in which that's what we'd love to be able to say each time. And there are moments when you can probably say that. And I've actually used that from time to time in a sensitive way. But there's a sense in which often we ourselves are responsible for some of the darkness out there because we are not aware enough sufficiently in any given moment of the fact that we are there, yes, to do a diligent job at the work we've been given to do, but we are there primarily to be filled with the Spirit of God and to be accomplishing His purpose. And to the degree that we allow that consciousness to slip is the degree to which people will not see Christ in us. And why we want them to see Christ in us is because that will cause them to want to ask the question, what is the hope that you have that I don't have? When I'm despairing, when I see joy in your life, and I know your life, you've told me that, you know, you've got issues, you've got a sick mother, you've got a child, I know you have issues. What is the hope that you have? Why are you able to sustain that joy? And so, to some degree, we bear a great deal of responsibility for the fact that people are not hungering for Christ, because our conscious awareness of dancing with the star is subjected in our own experience. You know, in any given moment, we're off guard. Oh, you know, got to shake my head. Yes, I am a Christian. I mean, you know, and what does that mean for this moment? You know, am I praying in this instant, maybe privately and secretly, for that situation? Or sometimes praying and intervening is the last thing that comes to my mind. Should have, might have, could have. And so this is very important. So who do you say that I am? Critical question. You know, I can tell you quite honestly that when I played football for 12 years, it was a great experience, but I have to tell you, I had no intention of being a football player, no ambition to be a football player, no desire to be a football player. I absolutely are here to tell you that God orchestrated the circumstances in my life to make me a football player. I was going on to a master's degree, and all of a sudden I find myself dying at Lansdowne Park trying to make a football team. Literally dying. I'm not talking about maybe dying. I was almost dead. But, you know, God had a plan to use that instrument through my life for His purposes. And I can never figure it out. I mean, I was an unheralded athlete at the University of Guelph, and I was on the very last rung of the ladder of a training camp of 75 athletes. The coach didn't know my name. He didn't know my position. He didn't have a clue who I was. But God had a plan. And all of a sudden, things changed, and I stayed here for 12 long years. So Jesus is not only a star, but He's also our healer. Amen? And one of the great accesses we have to people's lives is through praying for healing. I could safely say that 100% of the time, if someone is sick and you offer to pray for them, they will say yes. Almost never do people deny prayer, especially when there's a need in their life. So God as healer is a wonderful access for us to the hearts and lives and spirits of people. And so I want to show this first video. I've got two videos I want to show you. Hopefully we'll get to the second one. But this video has a couple of themes. One, you'll see the dancing theme played out so well with the music that you played earlier on, Gord. And the question is, when you're dancing with the Lord, sometimes He wants you to dance in a different place. And we've heard about that. You know, we're all moving around from time to time, and people do move around. So the question is, where does He want you to dance? Not just does He want you to dance, but where would that be? And that's part of the question. So enjoy this brief story of what Jesus can do when we dance. Hopefully we have the video. While they're doing that, let me talk to you about some other scriptures. Samuel records the day that King David was leaping and dancing. You remember that story, right? The psalmist says, "Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing." Yeah, here we go. I should have turned off the lights. Can you see it okay?
I can only imagine what it will be.
Turn up the volume.
Like when I walk by your side, I can only imagine what my eyes will see.
This is Pinball and Diane Clements.
When your face is before me, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing inside. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. Only imagine. I can only imagine.
You know, dancing with the Lord is a wonderful privilege, and sometimes we can get despondent when there's three or four of us meeting and we expected 20 or 30, or when there's 30 or 40 and we expected 100. But this reminds me that God is at work all over the world in a marvelous way. And when you go downtown Ottawa, when you go to work in Ottawa, when you're on the hill in Ottawa, you got to remember that Satan is at work in a huge way in our nation's capital, and the journey's going to be tough. There's going to be those tough days when you look and you wonder, this isn't working. What am I going to do? But we've got to see the global picture of what God is doing, how he's building his church, how he's dancing with the lame and the invalids and the blind and the people that are most desperate for him. And that most of that scene took place in Kumi in Uganda, and a very remote little place which has nothing but that one hospital it's an orthopedic hospital, and we were able to take some money there to help them with surgery. But so we have to put our lives into context with what God is doing. And if it's tough for us here in Ottawa, there's a reason for that, is because this is tough territory. It's territory that Jesus has already died to redeem, and we are responsible to reclaim. And that's why the marketplace ministry has to prosper. And so we cannot give up hope. We need to vibrantly go forward from this place as stars and light, because this is the tough turf to win. To some degree, if we all got on a plane and went to Kumi, we would see the victory of Jesus. They would welcome us. They would dance with us. They would play bands for us. They have nothing, but they would welcome us as part of the body of Christ, and we would rejoice. We'd come home just elated. That's absolutely true. But some of the hard territory to win is downtown Ottawa, where you and I are. And so this is why we need to press on with this vibrant dance. Let people see that we are alive in Christ. Let them see that we'll not be discouraged, we will not despair, we will move forward, and as our brother indicated, that sometimes we will push back, we will not just, you know, surrender to man, we'll surrender to God, and sometimes we push back lovingly, firmly, and in order to be who we have the right to be in this nation as God-fearing people. Jesus said, "Come to me, learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." These are words that invite us to learn to walk and to run and to dance and to abide in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. For the first 27 years of my life, I didn't know how to dance with Jesus because nobody had introduced Jesus to me. As a 27-year-old football player right here in your own city, I was introduced to Jesus Christ, the dance began, and it's never stopped. It's been beautiful, hugely challenging along the journey, as you know, but the dance continues, and I'm eternally grateful for the church, the people of God that exposed me to the reality of Jesus Christ. And there's an old chorus that some of you may remember, learning to lean on Jesus, and I'm still learning that one, how to lean on Jesus Christ, but it's a wonderful trip, wonderful journey, and I want to be a small part of what you're doing here in the city of Ottawa. One of my mentors is Oswald Chambers, as he is to some of you, and he helps me begin my dance each day very early in the morning, and he has a few things to say about this. He says, all other worship, you know, all the other choices that are out there, all other worship and loyalty and adoration is religious fraud. And there's so many fraudulent offerings out there, and yet, you know, as we've heard again this morning, we need to be able to walk with and love and befriend those people that are endorsing the fraudulent faiths that are out there, because it's still an opportunity for us to at some point expose and introduce them to Jesus Christ. And reading Brother Andrew's book called Light Force reminds me of the huge influence one man can have in the whole Palestinian situation by introducing people to Jesus Christ in a loving, patient way, serving them and not demanding things from them. So Oswald Chambers also exhorts us to get into God's stride, oneness with Him in all we do, in order to receive new vision, spiritual growth, and new purpose. So I go back to what I said before. Part of the reason why there's not a greater interest and demand in Christ is because I believe so few of us collectively as Christians, if there are 70%, David, of Christians in Canada, so few are pursuing the journey of holiness, are pursuing righteousness, are pursuing that daily surrendered life, wanting to be filled with the Spirit, wanting to be salt and light on a day-to-day basis. And that's our responsibility. We can't point any fingers on that one. That's up to us as the church. Iron sharpens iron, and we cannot be content, if I may be so bold this morning, as to be content with church pew sitters. You know, it's the last place God wants you to be. The last place He wants you to be is sitting in a pew. That's controversial, right? Of course it is. But, you know, to some degree, you're no good to Him sitting in a pew. Are you sitting in a pew this morning? Thanks for your prayer. But you see, most Christians are content and believe they are doing God's will by sitting in pews. And you know and I know that's not what you were intended to accomplish. And so we have to bear this responsibility, you know, and it's okay. I mean, I need people to confront me. The other day, we had a speaker in Ottawa, Alan Hirsch, and he called me a Pharisee. So you invite Pharisees to speak to you, I understand. But he said it lovingly, so I felt okay about it. But basically, he looked at the whole group, and he asked us to describe what a Pharisee was, and then he said, who does that remind you of? And unfortunately, it reminded us of us. He said, we are the evangelical church, are the Pharisees of the 21st century. Man, I took that personally. I took it seriously. I was mildly offended in my spirit. I thought, I've got to do something about that. I don't want to fit that bill. And the only reason he was saying it, there was some context here, right? He was saying it in the light of, we recognize that God created us in His image, right? But we do spend quite a bit of time trying to create Him in our image. Because we want the Jesus that we want. And so we'll take 80%, maybe 90% of the Jesus of the Scripture, and then we'll just either neglect part of it and say, or import something else that's not supposed to be there, and it perverts the whole thing. And so in that sense, he was saying, we may be Pharisaical in that Jesus is something we have formulated in our minds instead of taking the Jesus from the Scripture. And many references like that that we could refer to. So he says that we are to follow the Lord, your God, our God, listen to His voice, serve Him, and I love this word in terms of dancing, cling to Him. When I was a youth many years ago, a long time ago, I went to dances because that was the thing to do, but I didn't know how to jive. Any of you remember what a jiving is? It's kind of like dancing with arms linked. But I didn't know how to do it. It was embarrassing for me. I was a shy kid. I would blush at anything, and I didn't know how to jive. So I'd sit there all night until they played the slow music, but then I knew how to cling. And I knew how to dance, and I had to find a partner by the end of the night that had been dancing all night, that somebody wanted to dance with me. But I love the word cling. It's sort of like the word abiding, right, in John chapter 15. So clinging, abiding, dancing, this connectedness with Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. So are you dancing with Him today? Or we could ask someone else, not you in the room, are you ready to ditch your current partner? You know, it might be religion, it might be money, it might be success, significance, it might be some other addiction. Are you ready to ditch your current partner for a walk with Jesus Christ, a dance with the Savior? These are the questions that we need to ask creatively of our friends and neighbors, right? We don't just have to slap them with, you know, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. You know, that doesn't win a lot of friends. It may have some element of truth to it, of course. But we want to see if they're interested in walking with us, dancing with us for a few days, and see what's going on. So we're gonna go to the second and last DVD now. This is a 7-minute piece. That was only a 3-minute piece. So you need to hang in there with this story. This is a secular story. Are you ready for this? Do you have any idea what secular life is like out there? I think you sort of have a taste of it, right? Well, this is a secular story. There are three figures in it, like the Trinity. So I want you to look at this video with divine eyes. Okay? So I want you to see what God is saying to you about this clip. Some of you may have seen it. I think either the movie was called The Dance or Will You Dance? Something like that. And it's a husband, like some of you. He didn't work in the public service or anything, but he was a lawyer, and all he did for 20 years was write wills for rich guys to leave too much money to their bratty kids and to their angry wives, and he was getting bored of life and bored of living. He was happily married with one daughter, but he was living the rat race. His wife also had her career, and she was never home. She had meetings in the evening, and like life was just the pits for this guy. And then he discovered something. He discovered dance. And he started going to dance class, but he didn't tell his wife because, you know, she wouldn't approve. perhaps, and he didn't want her to know what was going on. She thought he was having an affair. She hired a private detective to check him out. The daughter wondered, what the heck is going on in my family here? Anyway, this is, I love this clip. This is a Jerry Organ, I love this clip thing. So just hang in there with me and see what you can see in this video about either your life or what the divine principle is from this clip. Paulina was his dance instructor. Beverly's his wife.
Thanks.
By the way, I'm not going to this party.
Oh, okay. But you're not giving up dancing, are you? You could teach me to dance.
Beverly, I'm not dancing anymore.
Why not, Dad? Why don't you teach Mom how to dance?
One thing I am proudest of in my whole life is that you were happy with me. If I couldn't tell you that I was unhappy sometimes, it's because I didn't want to risk hurting the one person I treasure most. I'm so sorry.
Instructions for dancing, but I love it when you read to me. And you,
wife is coming to the party, provided everything's going to
go. You can read me anything. The Book of Love has music in it. In fact, that's where music comes from. Some of it's just transcendental. Some of it's just really dumb. But I...
So, John, I'll see you at the party, huh?
I love it when you sing to me. And you, you can sing me anything.
The Book of Love.
That's a dance partner there.
And written very long ago. It's full of flowers and heart-shaped boxes.
And things we're all too young to know. But I love it when you give me things. And you want to give me wings. Music in it. is where music comes from. Some of it's just transcendental.
I like this album. Lovely. I just now just know that these guys are
too dark. But I love it when you sing to me, and you can sing me anything.
Why aren't you at the party?
Oh, because it's a dance, and to dance you need a partner. My partner is right here. Beverly, dance with me.
Wow.
Yeah, you did.
No,
yeah, you've been dancing with me for 19 years.
Steph.
I'll teach you.
Gets to me, but it always does every time I see it. I hope you can see some divine elements in that story. It's a workplace story, right? Bored, rat race, not fulfilling, chaos, tension, stress, a deep abiding love that doesn't know how to express itself. A major distraction with the dance studio and a very attractive teacher that never became an issue for him. He just wanted to enjoy the liberty of dance. And his wife had no idea what to make of it. And I wonder if you considered what the role of the daughter was. What was her role in that very important scenario, that dance between three people, trying to make sense out of life? And so there's so much more to that, and those of you that can linger for a few moments might have an opportunity to discuss that. But I think you can obviously take with you the essence of this, that he got dressed up in a tuxedo. In other words, he was dressed in the righteousness, if you like, of Christ. Not in the movie, but... And that's how we go to work. We go dressed, equipped, and ready to dance with anyone that says, "Will you teach me?" So that's our obligation, I believe, is to dance in such a way and to be presented in such a way that people will want to dance, learn a few steps, travel a little way along the journey, and see if they can't fall in love again with the Savior who created them in the first place, who they may have known from Sunday school. They may have known at some point in the past, but needed to be reintroduced. So that's a clip that I thought was very appropriate to our theme. And the last thing I want to say before I close is John 15 captures this so well. The whole abiding theme where Jesus appeals to us to abide in Him. You know, you don't have to build a workplace ministry. You don't have to transform a city. God takes responsibility for building His church and for preparing His bride. But one thing He cannot tolerate is if you don't abide in Him. You know, I tried to think of a picture for it and it didn't come out very well, but you know, I have two arms, and if this arm is abiding in my body and abiding, it's being fed and nourished and it can do all that I want it to do and I can accomplish great things with it. But if this arm is sort of stapled and nailed and wrapped in duct tape attached to the body and saying, yep, I'm also an arm, I can't accomplish anything through that because there's no life flowing through it. There's no veins and arteries and nerves. It looks like an arm and it looks like it's attached, and I am attending church. You know, I'm part of the 70% because, you know, I'm an arm. But sooner or later, the lack of nourishment will call it to dry out. It'll fall off. And in Scripture, it says it'll be burned up. So it's very important for us under John 15 and under this issue of, you know, will I dance with the Savior? Is will I, first and foremost, be that man, that woman that abides in Jesus Christ? Bearing how much fruit? Fruit, much fruit, and more fruit. So let's not be discouraged in doing good. Let's walk with the Savior. Let's dance with Him every day. Let's rejoice together in the small gains, in the large gains, in the good news, and then even we can mourn together in some of the bad news. So let me just pray with you, and then I'll turn it back to our host today. Father, thank You that we can dance with You today. Thank You, Lord, that through the stories of life, we can see You. We can see Your role and Your purpose. And as we go to work every day, we want to see You at work, not just in other people's lives, but we want to see Your work through us. So, Father, this is a great opportunity for us. This is a short life we live, but every day can be evidence of Your presence, Your love, Your significance, the great price You paid on the cross of Calvary to redeem our city and our workplace. We are now Your servants, Your ambassadors, Your ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be stars, to be light, to bring that light and that truth and that hope into the workplace. Help us to celebrate that and to be that person in which to whom You will always say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Father, we love You today. Thank You for this gathering today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.